Welcome back. Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. I am Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. Anything on your mind? 602-5080-960. Mr. Bill, good to see you. David Dahl, young David, good to see you. Miss Terry, I believe, is back there. I wanted to go through two op-eds today from my senior colleagues here at Salem. The first is Dennis Prager. The second is Hugh Hewitt, because they hit on some durables that I just thought was very well timed and very well said. You'll see the connections to it and to themselves in a moment. And if you want to weigh in on any of it before we draw all those connections or link them up, that's fine as well. But Dennis Prager had an op-ed a couple weeks back that I meant to get to. Communists betray workers. Teachers' unions betray students. Civil rights organizations betray blacks. And I thought the op-ed got into a good explanation of how upside down things have become, how inmatey the asylum has become. What's the new word I learned? Let's see. I learned a new word about this. We'll figure it out in a minute. Obnebulize, to obnebulize the situation, to be clouded. The Communist Party of the Soviet Union, like most communist parties, came to power as the great defender of workers. In reality, the Soviet Communist Party didn't give a hoot about Russian workers. The party was nothing more than a totalitarian organization that used workers to gain power and then suppressed the proletariat just as it suppressed every other group. One of the first things the Communist Party did after attaining power was disband independent labor unions and prohibit worker strikes. Yes, the Workers' Party banned strikes. The one major exception was the Chinese Communist Party, which came to power as the great defender of peasants and then went about slaughtering 60 million of them. This has been the modus operandi of every left-wing group everywhere. Claim concern for some group and use that group to fool people, specifically naive liberals who share few values with the left but have frequently served as useful idiots for the left. Liberals do so to this day. Take teachers' unions. Teachers' unions are nothing more than left-wing groups that use alleged concern for students to attain and retain their power. The reality, however, is while they care about teachers, they harm students far more than they help them. One example is teachers' unions' opposition to school choice. Those who actually care about students support the right of parents to choose their children's schools, just as many teachers do when they send their own children to schools of their choice. A second example is teachers' unions making it nearly impossible to fire incompetent teachers. A third example was teachers' unions' demand that schools lock down for nearly 2 years during the COVID-19 era. The unions did so despite there being no scientific evidence in support of school lockdowns and despite ample warnings that many children would suffer intellectually, scholastically, emotionally, and psychologically. Moreover, wrote John Cochran of the Hoover Institution in the Wall Street Journal, quote, when schools went remote, parents found out what was actually going on inside the classrooms. Teachers were coaching students to hate themselves, their country, and their religious traditions, and sexualizing young children. The last point brings us to a fourth example. Teachers rob young students of their sexual innocence with premature talk of and books that deal with overt sexual activity and the infamous use of drag queens to perform in front of children as young as 6 years old. Just how left-wing teachers' organizations are was made clear by the sympathetic left-wing magazine The Nation in January. Quote, a rank-and-file campaign inside the National Education Association is demanding the president stop sending military funding, equipment, and intelligence to Israel. But the rank-and-file campaign goes beyond that. Members want the NEA, the National Education Association, to revoke its endorsement of Joe Biden for the 2020 2024 presidential race until the president stops sending military funding equipment and intelligence to Israel. That was 2 months after October 7th. Today, Randy Weingarten of the Federation of Teachers said that more attention needs to be paid to the children in Gaza whose schools have been destroyed and demolished because they cannot get an education. And one obviously laments children that can't get an education. She has no idea what's going on in those schools when they do function. I can tell you what's going on in there. They are it is the pedagogy of hate. But what is most ironic to me about her plaint over the schools not being able to teach students in Gaza is, where was that concern in 2020 and 2021 about students in schools in the United States of America? Ponder that for a moment. Let's go to civil rights organizations. Most civil rights organizations are also essentially left-wing groups. They use alleged concern for blacks to attain and retain power, but they harm blacks considerably more than they help them. A glaring example is the near-universal opposition of civil rights groups to school choice, despite the fact that black Americans overwhelmingly support it. According to a 2023 Real Clear Opinion research poll, 73% of blacks support school choice, 2 points more than whites. They do so because large majorities of black students in public schools perform far better, far below grade level standards. The reason the largest civil rights organization, the NAACP, opposes school choice has nothing to do with concern for blacks. It is that the left-wing position, again, the NAACP being a left-wing organization, on school choice is dictated by teachers' unions. Other civil rights organizations' positions that harm blacks include labeling as racist the most effective solution to racism, widespread colorblindness, supporting separate dorms and graduations for black college students, and support for lowering academic and professional standards to facilitate black advancement. Feminist organizations. Feminist organizations are additional examples of essentially left-wing organizations. The group they use to attain and retain power is obviously women. Just as other left-wing interest groups, they harm the group on whose behalf they allegedly fight, in this case women, far more than they help them. The most obvious example is the support of major feminist organizations for men who say they are women, participating in women's sports. From the website of the National Women's Law Center, quote, "The National Women's Law Center unequivocally supports the inclusion of trans women in women's sports, and if you call yourself a feminist, you should too," close quote. From the website of the Women's Sports Foundation, quote, "The Women's Sports Foundation supports the rights of all athletes, including transgender athletes, to participate in athletic competition," close quote. In 2022, the Women's Sports Foundation wrote a letter to the NCAA protesting any diminution of the right of biological males who say they are females to participate in women's athletics. The letter was co-signed, as expected, by LGBTQIA+ organizations, but also by two major feminist organizations in addition to the Women's Sports Federation, the National Organization for Women and the National Women's Political Caucus. Damaging women has been the primary legacy of organized feminism for the last half century. That there are more depressed women, especially young women, today than at any other time in American history is directly attributable to left-wing influence generally. No religion, no country, no future, and to feminist doctrines specifically. Career is more important than family, and women can do just fine without a man to love and be loved by. LGBTQIA+ organizations. Perhaps the ultimate example of left-wing contempt for the groups they claim to represent is Queers for Palestine. Palestinian queers have no rights. They face persecution and death if they expose themselves to their society. Israeli queers are by far the safest, happiest, and freest in the Middle East. In fact, if you are gay and want to express your love and live in the West Bank or Gaza, you would escape to Israel if you could. And many do, and many did. But hating Israel is the left-wing position at any cost. And that's why you don't see Palestinians marching for LGBTQ or queer rights, only queers marching for their rights. This is symptomatic of yet a larger system, a larger symptom of the problem. The problem that we have in the crisis of the West, that's what the college protests are about. They're really about Western values. They're not necessarily about Israel. They're about the West. As the SDS protesters said in the 1960s, the thing we're protesting about is never the thing we're protesting about. It's about the larger goal. And we'll speak about that when we come back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I love that. Poured myself a cup of ambition. Isn't that fun? Poured my... Young David, why are you yawning? Am I boring
you, sir? Why am I yawning?
Is Dolly Parton boring to you, sir?
Oh, my goodness. You just take things to the extreme.
As no, I just try and put things
you're
together.
You're insufferable. Always going to the worst possible conclusion.
I think we can do
why
worse.
Why are you yawning? Dolly Parton must bore you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, was something. Were you up and out late last night?
Yes, of course. I was at my usual haunt, the Dirty Drummer.
You were at the Dirty Drummer.
Yes, and I've now done it, ladies and gentlemen. I've now gone and tried, not in synchronization, but I've now tried all of their daily specials.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I have gone there over the span of several months.
Yeah.
At least once on every day of the week.
And what did they feature last night?
Last night it was a chicken sandwich.
A retirement party for one of the staff?
Yes, but it was a chicken sandwich.
Yes.
What did they feature?
The people.
What's the daily special today? A retirement party? No, it's a chicken sandwich.
What is today?
It's Drummer Tuesday. Dirty Drummer Burger Tuesday.
Burger Tuesday. Yeah, they give a discount on burgers. Best cheeseburger in town, I think. Best hamburger in town at the Dirty Drummer. I don't know of a better one. People can call in and tell me. That's the kind of thing people like to call in about. But
they should.
But until they have had one at the Dirty Drummer.
We've had entire segments of the show with Sam Stone dedicated to burgers.
No, but
this
is an important point. If anyone wants to come in and nominate a good one, they have to certify or validate or verify
by
that they...
By bringing it into the office.
No. They have to validate that they had the one at the Dirty Drummer.
And then they can bring both in for both of us to try.
All right, stop it. I am not...
I'm just trying to get a free lunch out of this.
I know. You're not allowed. It's frowned upon. Okay. I was saying right before the break that the protests on the campus aren't about what they're saying they're about. I mean, they're temporarily about Israel. They don't care about they don't care about the Arab humanitarian concerns of the Palestinians. If they did, they would have been marching in the Sudan over what's going on in the Sudan. They would have been marching over what's going on in Syria. They would have been marching. They'd be marching against Jordan. They'd be marching against the country of Jordan. Do you know what the population of Jordan is? It's 11.3 people, 3 million people. It's like 12 million people, Jordan. 70% of which is Palestinian by the same cultural definition or the same national or ethnic definition as the Palestinians in Gaza, West Bank, and Israel. And it's 70% Palestinian by that definition. It's the larger population that is governed by non-Palestinians, and that is not a Palestinian state. It is known as the Hashemite Kingdom, which is the obviously Abdullah family from Saudi Arabia. If they cared about Palestinian rights, they would have been marching against Jordan, just as not a single campus rose up when the previous king of Jordan slaughtered 20,000 Palestinians in Black September. Slaughtered 20,000 of them within about a week, 10 days. Slaughtered 20,000 of them. In about 10 days, and not over a war that they started against him the way that obviously Hamas did on October 7th. Not a campus said a word, not a peep. The UN didn't say a word, not a peep. The 60,000 people that are killed roughly every year by the Assad regime in Syria, no one says a damn thing about. You know why? Okay, this is the larger point I'm trying to get to. It's not about the thing. The thing that it is about, the big thing that it is about, is the hatred of the West. Now, what is this thing you call the West? What is the West? Is it a place? Is it an idea? This is where I was saying Hugh Hewitt had a very helpful column, I think, at Fox News today. He writes, "What nation is the leader of the West? To answer that question, you must first define what the West is." There are 100 different definitions, and indeed an entire PBS series devoted to that question. Civilization, the West and the Rest, with Niall Ferguson, debuted in 2012. And the accomplished historian issued a companion book at the same time and with the same title. In Civilization, the West and the Rest, the summary of the book relays, quote, best-selling author Niall Ferguson argues that beginning in the 15th century, the West developed six powerful new concepts that the rest lacked. What are those six? Competition, science, the rule of law, consumerism, modern medicine, and work ethic. Those characteristics are fine and easily applied to exclude from the West tyrannies such as the People's Republic of China, Russia, Iran, and all the puppet states or proxies, but it does not include the essential ingredient of the West. And it's interesting that it doesn't. What is it? It's freedom. Freedom. The West is defined by this essential must-have feature, some significant measure of individual liberty. That liberty must include the rule of law and not the rule of despots and oligarchs. There is no rule of law where the law can be easily manipulated or avoided. There cannot be in any member nation of the West a secret police that operates without restraint and oversight, but solely on the direction of unaccountable despots. The members of the West have free elections at regular intervals and guarantee freedom of conscience and speech and almost always movement within their boundaries to their citizens. Constitutions of member states may be written as in the United States or unwritten as in the United Kingdom. Nations in the West may be large or small, rich or poor, and since the end of World War II, at least can be found on every continent. Countries can be part of the West and then lose that status, as happened to Venezuela. Or it can aspire and eventually join or rejoin the West, as happened with many former members of the now-defunct Warsaw Pact. Poland is one such country, as are many others surrounding Ukraine. Ukraine aspires to be part of the West and is fighting, and its people suffering and many thousands dying, to keep that dream alive. Japan was a tyranny and an empire, but defeated by the Allies in 1945, it is now among the West's leaders, which is why, by the way, the White House National Security spokesman John Kirby is just simply wrong when he says you cannot militarily defeat an ideology. Yes, you can. We have done it at least twice in the same war. We did it with Japan, and we did it with Germany. Why didn't we do it completely with the Soviet Union? That is a larger question, which we can talk about. But for now, as Hugh Hewitt reminds us, until December 7, 1941, the leader of the West was the United Kingdom, standing alone after the defeat of France by Hitler's Germany in 1940. After Pearl Harbor, the United States was thrust into that role and has remained there without question until this decade, until very recently, in fact. But it is the Marxist pull and the Marxist ideology that is the greatest threat to the West, the kind of thing political philosophers since the end of World War II, like Leo Strauss, were talking about when they spoke of the crisis of the West, which was a crisis in confidence in our rightness, in our cause, up and against Marxism. And that's what these protests are about. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. John Dombrowski brings us our culture and economy update. He is the president and founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, grandcanyonplanning.com, his website. Great place to go to reach out to him or to learn about what Grand Canyon Planning may be able to do for you. One of the things I like about John, as much as we talk about markets and adults, is he's always also been concerned, and retirees, he's always also been concerned about getting in to the market and getting into the economy and building the American dream from young ages on upwards, not just at retirement or in contemplation of retirement, but really in contemplation of starting your life out. Right, John? And this is why you are always talking to me about these young people taking on more and more debt. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal on this. You want to say something about it?
Sure. Yeah. Wall Street Journal. Interesting article here about debt, talking about students out there and the young generation taking on debt and credit card debt. And we're seeing that the average for a 22 to 24-year-old was $2,834, so almost $3,000 in credit card debt. And now compared with 2023, at around $2,248.
Closer to 2,000, yeah. Closer to 2,000 versus closer to 3,000.
Up substantially, right?
Yeah.
Now with student loans, with any other type of debt that you may have, I mean, this is an interesting dilemma that maybe this younger generation is putting themselves into. And what I did find, which was really interesting, is I tried to calculate out what that, yeah. On a $3,000 minimum balance,
right.
balance.
Yeah.
The current average interest rate on a credit card is about 22%, believe it or not. Okay. Ouch.
Ouch.
Right?
Yeah.
22%. If you just paid the minimum payment on that, that $3,000 would be paid off in 230 months.
Yeah.
And you would have paid in interest almost $5,000.
Yeah.
So that $3,000 bill turned into $8,000. I think you could probably put that money to use better. In other areas of your life, possibly investing it for your future, whatever it may be, put another zero on that, and you're talking some serious money here on some of these things. So it's really important. The average, I think, American credit card, I think we hit over $1 trillion in credit card debt last year. So things are getting tough out there. As we know, inflation is hard, and we want to see how we can help people get that debt down and start investing for your future.
People like you, I think, and others like Dave Ramsey, they're always telling young kids not to spend what they don't have and not to spend it on fancy cars, which is always a temptation,
mm-hmm.
but
sure.
instead take that kind of money and start entering the market, right, John? This
yeah.
is what you like yeah. to counsel, isn't it?
And dollar cost averaging, we talked about this many times, Seth, you and I, that means, putting money in on a regular basis.
Right.
You're buying sometimes when the market's high, buying when the market's low. And you would be shocked at what that actually could do for you over many years. Even when the markets have these volatile periods of, these exaggerated shifts, whether it's higher or lower, you're buying it and averaging out that cost to buy into those investments. And over long periods of time, that could really play a big role in how the gains can build up in your portfolio.
One thing to be cautious of, or I guess not to be so much cautious of, but to take note of, is that mm-hmm. it was only a couple of years ago that the credit card companies made it easier for young people to get credit cards and
yeah.
open up new accounts. That should tell you something. It tells you something about their business model, not about you and what you're going to be able to survive, but how they will bank against you, how they are betting against you. For all
intents and
purposes.
It was similar for the student loans, right?
Yes.
It was very
yes.
easy for these kids to get
nice.
These student loans. Now,
yes.
now, some of these student loans are being forgiven somehow by the government. But your credit cards are not going to be forgiven.
No.
And the only way you're going to ever get out of that debt is to either pay it off or, if you had to, in a worst-case scenario, file some type of a bankruptcy, which we don't want to do, right? Because that's going to hurt your credit. You're not going to be able to get any type of credit for yourself for many years after that. And it's not a good position to be in. So really think hard about, do you really need that, whatever you're, that
yeah.
luxury that your
yeah,
item
yeah,
you're
yeah.
thinking about buying.
Yeah.
And would that money be better off placed in an account that can help build your net worth rather than decrease it, not only in the short term, but again, 230 months to pay it off, just paying the minimum payments, and that interest is almost double of what the principal that you owed was. So certainly something to consider.
Thanks.
And there are all sorts of fun things out there that you can, get online to figure out all the things that we just talked about. But again, go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Seth.
What are you doing?
Exploring Yacht Rock.
No, we have plenty of Yacht Rock already built in.
Sure, we could use 12 more.
No, we have plenty of good Yacht Rock built into the system as I have created it over the vast amount of years that I have been amassing our playlist. This is a very delicate structure that I have put together here.
You're a delicate person.
And you mess with it, and you imperil the entire tone, tenor, and timbre of the show.
You want to argue that one with me? Please explain to me how Cher and Sammy Davis Jr. are even remotely related.
Not every song is yacht rock. There is plenty of yacht rock in there. Plenty of yacht rock. And the idea that you're going to be throwing... What even was that discord?
You know exactly what song that was.
No,
don't pretend you
don't know. I don't.
That was Starbucks, Moonlight Feels Right.
Why would I know that song?
Because I asked you if you knew this song lot 10 minutes before we started this show.
And what did I say?
You said yes.
Do you know why I said yes?
To get me to shut up?
Yes.
Oh, well...
It was easier to say yes and move on than to say no and have you explain it to me.
Do you know what? I feel like there's a moral equivalency for that, that you should not be falling into the temptation to lie and move forward with life rather than to expose the truth.
Yeah, but
you know,
if the
like
lie
when,
helps you move forward in life...
It's like the conundrum. Do you tell your wife your honest opinions about the dress or not?
Oh, yeah. Aristotle takes this on. Yeah, there are certain lies which are justified. For example, you don't tell the suicidal where the knives are held, where the knives are kept. For example.
That's the lie of omission. There you go.
Every bride is gorgeous on her wedding day, no matter what.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, it was Starbucks Moonlight Feels Right.
Yeah, okay. Never again, please.
It's a great song.
No, it isn't.
It's a great song. Want to hear the ending?
Nope. Were you ever a Boy Scout?
Actually, I was.
I thought, maybe.
Actually, I was. I was a young man living up in Ohio, and I was part of the Weebelows program.
Yeah, yeah.
And something other. I don't know. I was only a Boy Scout for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, well, no more. Boy Scouts is changing their name. They will now be renamed Scouting America. In an effort to rebrand on the one hand, because they've been plagued by certain scandals, and because also they admit women into the Boy Scouts now, or Scouting America. And thus falls another major institution that forms young boys. Do you have that booklet, by the way, that merit badge booklet?
I got it. It's just not in the studio at this moment.
I was at an event a couple...
I probably could go run down the hall and
yeah,
grab
go,
it.
Yeah, go get it. I was... Go ahead. I was at an event a few weeks ago, and a listener to the show came to the event, he said, almost specifically or nearly specifically to just hand me this. And I am so glad and grateful that he did. It's fantastic. So I don't know if they still do it, but to get merit badges in various fields, you had to study these books, these booklets, that they put out on a whole range of issues, and they're great. This one was a merit badge in radio, and you learn all about radio to get your merit badge in radio. And it was published, let's see, my little eyes can't tell, 1958 this was published in. And it's just fantastic. And it led me to going online to find other things, swimming, health, nature, wildlife. They have all these booklets in their merit badge series from the 1950s, and they're so far ahead of their time. And I thought, you know, this is what young men were raised to learn and be well-educated, well-cultured, and well-couraged in their knowledge and in securing these merit badges, which used to be fantastic achievements of the Boy Scouts. Well, now it's just Scouting America. Now it's, I mean, it's like women's sports is not women's sports anymore. Boy Scouts are not Boy Scouts anymore. Young people, this is a real challenge for our age. Young people need something to cling on to. They're inquisitive. They're curious. They need taming and they need training. They need direction and they need discipline. What you are seeing on the campuses today is the absence of discipline. What you are seeing on the campuses today is a thirst to fight for something or join something that has penetration that has effect, that has feck. They're looking for something that has meaning. Young people crave and thirst for meaning in their lives. And so I give you this very sad statistic. I don't know if you knew this, but there are about as many young people in this country who are members of youth gangs, violent youth gangs, as are members of the Scouts. Think about that. My old boss and buddy Bill Bennett used to say young boys will either join the, you know, the Marines or the Crips and the Bloods. And substitute the Marines, which also, by the way, has been attenuated in its meaning, sad to say. Not the same thing anymore that it used to be, as the Boy Scouts aren't what they used to be. They're even changing the name, as athletics aren't, as education isn't. So many of these things have been progressively redefined out of their original intent and meaning, more importantly, out of their record of success. You know, Dennis Prager likes to talk about track record. What is the track record of these organizations? Well, they were fantastic when they were at their best. They did a great thing, and it helped build a great culture. And just as importantly, it helped build a great country. All of these civic institutions did. So what did the progressives who wanted to arrest that development and building do? They went after these institutions, and they ruined them. Whether it's in education, whether it's in scouting, whether it's in athletics, whether it's in the military, all of these things used to constitute hard America. Just the notion of a merit badge series means you're playing a game of accountability. You're playing for keeps, a pass or fail, a win or lose. Did you get a merit badge or did you not get a merit badge? Anyway, I went online and I bought them all, as many as I could. I think I bought about 30. There may be more, but someone on eBay had a bunch of them from the 1950s, and they're fantastic. And it's just kind of sad to see that we don't do that anymore. We don't have the Boy Scouts anymore as of today. Portions of this show brought to you by our friends at YRefi. YRefi has a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio. Maybe a better option for you than where you have your money now. With YRefi, you are in control. You can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like, and there are absolutely no fees. With YRefi, you have peace of mind. There's no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. And, of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. Best of all, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return that's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refi.com. Or call 888-YREFI-24, 888-YREFI-24. I would venture to say that Love Will Keep Us Together probably constitutes Yacht Rock, Young David. But go ahead and play that other one.
Yes, it does indeed.
Play that other one, because our friend Steve asked about whether this song constitutes Yacht Rock. Can you do it?
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me around Nassau Town.
All right, Sloop John B.
It's about a boat in the Bahamas.
Number 3, 1966.
Yeah, top Brian charter. Wilson.
Yeah. Pet Sounds, probably the greatest Beach
Is this
blues
from
album
Pet Sounds?
Ever.
Yeah, they say that that was the most creative album of its time. Did that album have Young David, did that album have what else was on that album? God Only Knows? Was God Only Knows on that album? That was the first rock song with the word God in it. Did you know that? The first pop song with the word God in it. And the Beach Boys were not sure whether it was sacrilegious or not, and they ultimately went with it.
It was God Only Knows.
Yeah, God Only Knows.
I just wasn't made for these times.
Yeah.
Perhaps you know that one.
Yeah. Sloop John B is on there, though?
Yeah, Sloop John B, and Wouldn't It Be Nice is the number one starting track.
Yeah. All of those, I think, constitute yacht rock. But certainly, if it's a song about a boat, it's yacht rock. Mm-hmm. Certainly it is. What year was Pet Sounds? 65?
66.
Revolution in record making.
The Beatles were somewhere off in Britain.
Yeah.
They heard it and they said, oh boy, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But the Beach Boys weren't able to follow it up. Their follow-up album, I believe it was called something along the lines of What's Your Favorite Vegetable? It was not a good follow-up, and they kind of slowly went downwards in terms of their popularity.
Until Kokomo. That was a huge comeback for them.
1970s.
No. So. More like 85, 86. Yeah. All right. We answer all questions here. Mr. Steve had the question in the audience, whether that constituted yacht rock. We took it on, and we answered it. Definitively, yes. The band is called Beach
Boys.
Wait,
you say yes?
Yeah.
All of the Beach Boys is yacht rock.
Beach Boys. What's a beach? We shall
Surfing
fight them on
USA
the beaches.
Is most decidedly not yacht rock. There's surf rock. That's a genre, too.